Appalachian Trail, or maybe you've gone down into North Carolina to the Smoky Mountains, maybe Gatlinburg. Maybe you've made your way out to the Rocky Mountains. Let's just keep looking at that mountain. And you look down into the valley, and you look over the landscape, and you look at what it details. You feel very, very small. I once heard it said, you don't go to the Grand Canyon and stand out over its rim and look down the mile-high banks. And you don't stand over the Grand Canyon, this magnificent, this wondrous thing that God has created, and go, man, I'm pretty important. You don't look at the Grand Canyon and feel all that special about yourself. You don't pat yourself on the back. You don't go to these mountaintops or to these things that God has created and immediately recognize how big you are, how significant you are, how important you are, how special you are. When you get a perspective from the mountaintop, there's only one person who's big. There's only one person who's special. There's only one person who's significant. And it's not you. And it's not me. It's the Lord God. Today, we try to create an opportunity for you to interact with the Lord God. We came in a period of silence to recognize the Lord God. We came in and some of you took off your shoes to recognize the Lord God. We saw testimony in baptismal waters of the work of the Lord God. We heard the scripture read that Moses interacted with the burning bush and then the flaming mountain so that you could feel the Lord God. Also believe you forever. When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments. And be ready for on the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set limits around, saying, take care not to go into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses protection of God over and over again. But now it's time to get even more personal. He says in 3 days. Seek Him. For 10 years ago, I had the great opportunity to go to Mount Sinai. March of 2001. It was about 3 hours to climb up the hill and a half. 3 hours down. And it's significant to me for lots of reasons. Two that I'll share. One, my girlfriend is with me. She's a picture of us up on the Mount Sinai. We hiked up 3.5 hours. Got up there. If you can really see it, I have a headset on my Sony Walkman. And something significant happened on the way down. We actually had one of those DTRs. I don't know what a DTR is. We defined the relationship. She was my girlfriend. On the way down the mountain, I found out I got to buy a ring. If you like it, put a ring on it. I mean, that's how it works. Figured out, oh my goodness, this thing is real. I gotta save up some money. That October, so 6 months later, we were engaged, and then almost 1 year to the Mount Sinai experience. We were married. So it got real fast. But more than anything else, not only was that a wonderful experience, but then biblical lands. I don't worship dirt. I don't get down in there and kiss the dirt and feel like it's some sacrilegious relic. I don't worship a place. I worship the presence of God and the person of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, go and you are standing, you are resting in the place where God descended in fire and in cloud and in smoke, and He spoke with lightning and thunder. You recognize how small you are and how big God is. And we need that perspective. We need that perspective. We need to recognize God is holy. Friends, God is holy. He's not going to try to do it. We make it into this easy, pansy, old papa that we can just fiddle around with. When Isaiah saw the vision of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the great throne of the Lord, and the earth shook, and there were seraphim angels who were speaking one to another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. And Isaiah, the prophet who sees this, he falls on his face and he says, I am undone. Woe to me. I am like a dead man. And he's so amazed at the presence of God that he says, Lord, I am a man of unclean lips among the people of unclean lips. That's what his response is to a holy God. And we come to worship. We come to times together. And we don't even recognize how holy God is. Try that. You see, when Jesus was on the boat of Peter in Luke chapter 5, and Jesus, who is the God-man, is in the boat, and Peter hears the words of the Lord, and he says, Lord, get away from me. I'm an unclean man. That's what God's holy presence does. It makes you recognize your unholy life. It should be reverence for your step. Some of you have probably been to Arlington National Cemetery. Maybe you've even seen the tomb of the unknown soldier. Sort of a sacred might even come in there reverently because you know something sacred is here. And I would have you compare this experience, this day, with how you come into church. If we go to the national cemetery of someone who has died in the service of our country and we get silence, would we not also, when we come to the house of God, when we recognize Jesus Christ who not only died, but rose again, would we not pay honor to Him in the same fashion? You see, I think the American church, primarily the contemporary church, is a big church. Another thing on the list, walk in, walk out, get your fix. And we don't even recognize how perfect they are, but how much the death of His Son costs. God's presence is holy. God's presence requires preparation. Second observation, I think you see here is Paul and God tell Moses what to do. There's a 3 day coming. There's a preparation, there is a consecration. You may say, well, consecration, that sounds like a pretty big theological word. What does it mean? Well, to consecrate means to set apart, to make holy, to get ceremonially clean. It's a preparation of the outside and a preparation of the inside. On the outside, he tells them to wash their garments. He tells them to set a barrier around the mountain. He tells them to get ready on the outside because he's about to come with them. But he's also telling them to prepare some things on the inside. Did you see it in verse 14? Don't even go there. Because his desire for them is for their soul to be ready, their heart to be ready, their eyes and their longings to be solely for God, not for even the fleshly desires of self. And I wonder today, as we come into this sacred assembly, as we come into this time of worship, have any of us, and me included, have we done anything to prepare? Have we done anything to consecrate our lives before God, both on the outside and the inside? If I were a soldier, again, heading into battle tomorrow, knowing that it was going to be a major offensive, it was going to be a major day of battle, if I was on the front lines, and tonight was my last night, not on battle, but tomorrow was the armed day, the day of offensive, you better believe I would be doing some preparation. I would be preparing on the outside my equipment, my gear, my gun, my ammo. I'd be preparing all of my things. I'd be making sure I knew where I was going. But you also would be preparing on the inside. Some arrangements for what happens here. And friends, that's the same kind of thing we need to do before we come to the very presence of God. Prepare the outside and the inside. Now, I'm not legalistic. a boundary, there's a limit, there's a circle, whether invisible or seen. And they know around this mountain, you don't get close to it, and if anyone crosses the line, you shoot them on sight. Because that circle distinguishes God's holy presence, and you don't trifle with that. You see, God sets boundaries and He sets limits. Now, Jesus has given us freedom, amen? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We have freedom upon freedom upon freedom in worship. But don't you think for a minute there's not also boundaries prescribed by the Word of God. You see, we have freedoms. We have freedom to sing kinds of music like hymns and songs and spiritual songs. The book of Ephesians talks about that. If you read the book of Psalms, all 150 of them, you're going to know they're mostly songs written in every style, in every pattern, in every flavor. Some are happy, some are sad, some are reflective, some are angry. That's the songbook of the church. And every expression is there, as long as it's honoring to God, and it's honoring to Christ, and the Spirit filled. That's freedom. You have freedom to teach and preach in a variety of ways. Freedom to pray. You know, we can come in and we can confess, we can pray for one another, we can intercede for one another, we can pray a prayer of thanksgiving. We can pray a prayer of contrition or humility before God. We can teach and preach. As long as we're teaching and preaching the Bible, we have some freedom. We can use object lessons. We can use questions. We can use video. Now, start teaching and preaching the Quran or pop psychology. That's out of bounds. You see, we have freedoms galore. We have freedoms testimony, freedoms to hear about things through baptism of waters. We have freedom in the way we do communion. Some of you grew up in communion where you know that was the main part of the service. That was called the Mass, the Eucharist. And you came and you received that from the priest. If you've done communion here at Living Grace, you know you come to four stations by our deacons and you take the bread and you dip it in the juice and you receive communion that way. If you're from my tribe, and we pass those little trays around with the little what I call communion to-go cups. All prepackaged. That little wafery, pasty, ready thing. But we have some freedom. You can do communion in your home. You can do communion out in the woods, out by the lake. You have freedom in that. As long as it's reflecting the glory of Lord Jesus' death. So we have freedom. We have freedom, I would say, in the way we give, in the way we serve, the way we make sacrifice, using our time, our talent, our treasures. Some of you gave today financially. Some of you have given today in serving others. There's a whole batch of people who aren't even in here today because they're giving their time to teach our kids. We have freedom to give in different ways. We have freedom to fellowship in different ways. Sometimes it's a handshake, sometimes it's a hug. Shout. I have freedom to make a joyful noise. I have freedom upon freedom upon freedom. However, they must all be governed by Scripture, Scripture, Scripture. That's where the line is. Let me tell you something that's not worshipful, not governed in Scripture, that I hate every week. Announcements. I hate them. Gotta be honest. I despise them. Because I gotta do them. Announcements are not prescribed in Scripture. That's why they're at the end for us. You know, something else is not prescribed in Scripture, that you can watch on TV, barking like dogs, out of bounds. Laughing like hyenas, out of bounds. Being chaotic to the point of confusion, out of bounds. But you know what else is out of bounds? Sitting there like a not a that it's like a kiln